With me in the studio is Krista Davidson, an avid runner and writer. She is here to talk about her passion for running and how the sport helps her to stay sober. Welcome to the show, Krista.
Hi, Christine. Thanks for having me.
I am so happy, and I'm happy that you are going to share your story. But first, I'd like to ask you, when did you catch the running bug?
Okay. Well, I'll try to keep that succinct because, truly, I was a decent runner and loved running as a kid and then as a youth. So running, really, for me, goes way back. However, as more of an older teenager and young adult, I was more interested, I tell people, in sort of beer bars and boys, and I kind of gave running Let It Fall to the side, didn't pursue it in secondary school, and, you know, it just kind of became something I didn't do. But after I had my first child, so in 2001 that was, sometime in the next couple years, I got back at it, and then had some gaps over the next few years, had another baby, couldn't really gain any traction on consistency, and then from there, actually, did pick it up again, just about 5 years ago now. I've been running consistently, and that was because I recognized and I knew from my history with running that I needed it in my life and that it would be a great tool for me, as I was just 5 years ago getting sober. I quit drinking. So I have always had running sort of in the background of my life at different times, and I've had periods of non-running, but I know how good it is for your body and for your mind. So 5 years ago now, consistently running and using it as a tool for sobriety, for staying sober. Yeah.
Congratulations, Krista.
You
traded in, you know, for an obsession, well, I mean, a substance misuse for a healthier obsession, which is running, right? And I mean, like, what are some tips out there that you can share with the people who are listening right now? How did you do it? And
I think everybody's journey and story is different. I think for me, it was time. It was time because it had become, the drinking I was doing had become a disruption in our household. It had become a burden for my husband. I wasn't engaged and active with our family. I have two kids who are now, my son is 14 and my daughter's 12. So this is 5 years ago now, and the years before that sort of kept me from really fully engaging in the family's activities. And by that I mean, like, you know, one of the kids would have soccer. Well, I wouldn't be the one to take the child to soccer because I'd be at home and I'd already have been drinking for whatever period of time, you know, leading up to that. So I wasn't going to be A, obviously driving, or B, socializing half-lit, so to speak, with the other soccer moms and dads. So it was just something that I began to notice that my husband was really picking up my slack around the house. And it was him at one point, just before I did give up drinking, that he had said to me, you know, this is a problem for me, and this is a problem for our family, so maybe we need to take a look at changing something. And really, truly for me, that was all I really, really needed to commit to make changes. It was about a year before he came to me and said that I had begun to think that I did have a problem. And I did see my doctor about it, left that appointment the year before thinking, no, I can get a handle on this. This is not alcoholism. This is just, you know, an inappropriate relationship with alcohol. So Over that year, though, I didn't get a handle on it, and it became worse, as alcohol or substance use does. It doesn't get better. So in that year, it probably did really begin to peak, and so that would have been when my husband had a few things to say about it. And from there, you know, I'm lucky how it's worked for me, because I have a lot of support around me. I had a handful of people mm-hmm. who, when I disclosed what my situation was, they were there. They wanted me to get well. I had health benefits through my work that helped me get well. I had a family doctor who wanted to see me every day and met me at the office on weekends to make sure that I was still dry, as he would say. So I had a lot of people pulling for me. And that is what I think really helped me believe that I could do it and I would do it. Initially, I didn't really believe. I didn't know who I would be without alcohol. I was always, as far back as I can remember, drinking underage even. I was always the life of the party girl, and I could not imagine who I was going to be without alcohol, without that defining me. But, you know, the support I had, and, you know, one day under your belt, 2 days under your belt, a week, a month, it really, you know, it does add up, and you just kind of don't make any sudden movements. You ride it out. You lean on the people you need to. You take the time you need to. And for me, what was instrumental was physical activity in the form of running. So that's, you know, as far as tips, you know, it's really hard to lay that down because it's so different for everybody. But when I did start to realize, like, that, you know, I think I'm going to put running back in my life. I know how good it is. I know how good it makes me feel. Really, I began at the bottom, as in, I mean, I, you know, run 30 seconds, walk 4 minutes, so to speak. And as much as I didn't like that, because I felt like, oh my gosh, I can do better than this, or I can do more, I can push, I can run more than this. I really couldn't. I hadn't been doing it. So I just began easily and trusted and knew that if I kept at it, that it would be instrumental in my recovery.
Mm-hmm. And it's a journey, right? And you, and that support network is so important. And
I believe it is.
Mm-hmm. And you know what you do, like healing, like running is healing. It's meditative, but it's also you write as well about
yeah.
your journey. And you know, if people want to read your blog, would you be able to share?
Yeah. So I mean, to touch on how that came around was, interestingly enough, you know, I was in this new healthy place, and I had been going to these movie nights in my city where the guy who was running them only was interested in sharing movies that had a real positive message, positive lifestyle, mental health, whatever. And it just so happened that one night that I went, there was a movie that he showed that really, really triggered me to remember, you know, what made me happy when I was a kid. Like, if I could just let everything go, what did I do as a younger person that I just loved, that made me feel blissful? And I thought, I really enjoyed writing. I was a good writer. I liked to write. And it just was timing, Christine, that I run, the magazine that I'm now still connected with. So happy about that. But I noticed this ad, essentially, for submissions for a blog contest that they were planning on running. And they wanted it to be submissions from the writer around running and a particular niche. And at this point, I was about 18 months sober, and nobody really knew, A, that I had considered myself an alcoholic, and B, that I was in recovery for it. There were a handful of close people to me that knew, but other people, they weren't sure maybe why I was off work, or, you know, they other people wouldn't even necessarily have realized there was a problem, because my drinking was pretty much in my home. So people didn't know this other than a handful of really trusted people to me, because I was ashamed of it. I live in a small community. I'm a registered nurse in our community hospital. And at the time, I just was too ashamed and didn't want judgment placed upon me. And so I didn't share that openly. But with this blog contest and the idea that, yeah, I'm going to get back to doing some writing, here they're asking for, if you run and there's a particular niche that you are fluent in, I thought, yeah, you know what, I am going to write about running and recovery, running and sobriety. This is my thing. Mm. I submitted a few pieces of writing, and from there, you know, I was thrilled to be chosen of the top 10 finalists that they had submissions from across Canada to be part of this blog contest. I made the cut after the first five were cut away, and I didn't win it, but that began something that has been even more important to me when we talk about support in sobriety, is my involvement via social media and the running community. That support system for me has been invaluable. So, you know, I still have a relationship with iRun. I still do some writing for them, freelance-wise, I guess is what we call it. And I'm still so happy to be very active and very visible in the running community, because I was able to just come from a place of authenticity, I guess, and share what my experience has been. And I think that is why people, if they're going to be engaged by what I'm writing, I think it's not because I'm a fabulous writer. It's because I'm really stripping it down and sharing some pretty raw things sometimes. And sometimes I can do it with a bit of humor, and that lightens things up. So makes it a bit easier for people to read. Yeah.
Krista, I wanted to thank you very much for sharing your story, and it is very inspirational, and it helps raise the stigma, get rid of the stigma, I should say, and don't be ashamed, just reach out, and you are certainly doing that, and thanks so much for coming on the show.
Great, thank you so much for having me, and I just wanted to mention that if anybody wants to contact me, I'm at Krista Davidson on Twitter. Is really where you'll find me easily.
Thank you.
Great.